Well, praise the Lord. Good morning. That frog out of me just moved into my throat there out. And I appreciate the Lord's mercy. And good to see everyone that's here. I know a lot of people are away this weekend, but that's okay. You're here and the Lord's here. So we're just going to look to the Lord together. I had a rather unusual thought come to me this week, and I want to probably cover a lot of scriptures, which is why I actually have some notes here, because you know how it goes. But anyway, I believe the Lord wants us to have obviously a greater confidence in Him and enable us to move forward in this broken world that we're called to live in. And how many know that He's faithful? Absolutely. So I want to talk to you about an unusual subject, because I saw something from the devil's point of view that I believe actually shines a light on things that we know but don't always walk in as if we believe them. But the title, I guess, would be Things the Devil Knows. Things the Devil Knows. He knows a lot, doesn't he? But I'll tell you, you ought to ask the question, who is the devil? And again, I'm going to cover a lot of scriptures and things that we know, but I believe it's good to set the context. We know that the devil is a created being, right? Colossians tells us that everything and everyone, all the powers, everything in heaven and earth was created by who? God, yes, but how? But through Jesus. It was created by Him, through Him, and for Him. So God had in mind a creation and a kingdom, and He gave it to His Son to rule over. And so this being that we know as Satan was one of the highest created spirit servants who was created to serve as part of this creation, given great power and great authority. But of course, we know that he rebelled, didn't he? And he decided that he wanted to have a kingdom of his own. He was filled with pride, with self-will. And so he left the place that God had given him, that Christ had set him up in. And he fell. Jesus mentioned to his followers in Luke chapter 10, I'm just going to refer to these scriptures, you can make a note if you want, but in Luke chapter 10, Jesus refers to the fact that he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He knew all about the devil, knew who he was and what he was about. He said, I was there, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. And you know, one of the scriptures that is often referred to is in Isaiah chapter 14. I'll go ahead and just read a little of that. And this is a prophecy that God spoke, words that I doubt Isaiah himself fully understood, but he spoke them, and they were words from God that were very prophetic in nature. And the subject of the general prophecy was the kingdom of Babylon, which hadn't even ascended to its greatness, but God was saying things about it. But in talking about Babylon, he went beyond the kingdom and he looked at the power that was behind it. There's an inspiration. How many of you know that whatever we see in this world politically, there's another kingdom that's behind it? It's real. There are real beings. And in this case, it says, starting in verse 12, how have you fallen from heaven, morning star? And that's where the King James uses the word Lucifer. That's where it comes from. Morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly in the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon, wherever that was. Obviously a place of ascendancy and power. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So Satan was filled with pride, with ambition, with selfish ambition, obviously. And so he rebelled, believing he could actually establish himself as a god. And of course, we know he didn't do it alone, did he? And I think most of us have lived with the belief that they all fell at once. I'm not so sure about that. I've kind of come to a conviction that there was a time element during which angels joined his rebellion. Notice in Revelation 12 where it talks about the dragon, and it tells you who the dragon is, right? This great dragon. And it says his tail dragged one-third of the stars of heaven with him. Now, where's the tail in relation to a beast? It's the behind side, isn't it? So in other words, he rebelled against God. But over a period of time, there were others that he dragged into his rebellion. And I have all ideas that the ones that became the gods that the heathen nations worship were once angels that then joined his rebellion over time. It was over a period of time that they became part of his kingdom. And his purpose was to set himself up as the ruler over this world. He has a kingdom that reigns here. Okay? So that's where he's at. And we know that when he tempted Jesus, he offered him the kingdoms of the world. He ruled. And many references we've used in the past tells you that there is a kingdom. Paul, remember, he said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world. So there is literally a kingdom we can't see, but it's very, very real. Okay? So now let's get down to what he knows. And there's so many things, I finally figured I had to write them down. But anyway, devil knows that God judges sin. He just didn't go away and say, okay, devil, you can have the world, it's all yours. God has immediately began to intervene, began to reach out. And the devil knows that God judges the wicked. There came a time when Satan had amassed most of humanity under his dominion, deceived them into absolutely closing their minds to truth, and only Noah, and then ultimately his family with him, continued to serve the Lord, okay? And Satan had to sit there and watch God destroy his world by a flood, and everyone left behind, as I've said many times, did what? They perished. They died in that flood. And of course, he was there and enjoying all the sins of Sodom and trying, really having a big time driving them to do all the things that we're seeing in our world today. But there came a day when God said, it's enough. And fire and brimstone fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. God knows that, I mean, the devil knows that God judges sin. He just doesn't sit on the sidelines and forget about it all. But another thing, the devil knows that God has a plan. It had to be obvious to him in some sense that God, like I said, God did not sit on the sidelines and watch the world unfold and watch Satan build his kingdom. God was constantly intervening, calling Abraham, revealing himself to this one, revealing himself to another one, raising up a nation, acting to overthrow kingdoms and to allow others to rise. No matter what the devil did, God was involved. And we see every now and then, we see an example of the conflict that was going on there, the warfare that was going on. You see that glimpse in Daniel of two angels, one of God's angels and one of the devil's, having a warfare and having a battle. There's a lot goes on in this world that you can't see with the natural eye, but it's real. But anyway, you see God not only having a plan, but beginning to raise up a nation, and even though the nation as a whole rejected God and fell under deception and rebellion, there was a remnant that God had all the way through the Old Testament. And among that remnant, there were prophets who spoke out and gave the word of God. And embedded in their words was the plan that God was instituting. Like we've said many times, it was like guided missiles going out and literally setting the stage for the kingdom that you and I have been called to be a part of. Praise God. The devil knew something was up, but he didn't understand it. You know, that ought to be a warning to those who think that they can, with the human mind, understand the Old Testament and what it was really about. God hid his plans not just from the prophets themselves, and the scriptures makes it plain they didn't understand, but he hid his plans from the devil himself. So this is one thing the devil didn't know. Because if he had known it, we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. if he had understood what the plan was. So that's one thing he didn't know. But he knew God was unfolding something, and he was doing everything in his power to get in the way of that and to hang on to what he considered his. Okay? Another thing is, he knows who Jesus is. Obviously, when Jesus was sent to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil didn't say, I wonder who this is. He knew exactly who it was, and even though he said, if you be the Son of God, he knew who he was. There was no question. He was in flesh, but the devil knew who he really was. And so that's why he offered him the kingdoms of the world. All you got to do is worship me. Join my rebellion. And Jesus said, no, worship God, only him. Only him are you going to serve. So the devil knows who Jesus is. And of course, the fact that he tempted to kill Jesus when he was a young child. You remember that? You remember how he found out that there was this person who had come to be king and found out it was going to happen in Bethlehem? What did he do? Herod, this is, the heathen king, sends a bunch of soldiers down there to kill everybody under 2 years old. So the Lord had warned Jesus' earthly parents to remove him, to take him and get out of there and go to Egypt for a while. The Lord was intervening, but here's the devil. I know something's up. I don't know what it is, but the Son of God is here in flesh. I got to get rid of this guy. And so he actually engineered that. You know, that's in Revelation chapter 12, too, pictured in symbolic form. The devil was poised to kill that child because that child had a destiny to rule over the nations. Okay? So he knows who Jesus is. He knows Scripture, doesn't he? How many of you run into that one? The devil knows the Word better than you and I do. He knows what it says. He knows how to twist it, too. He knows how to cause it to seem to say something that it doesn't really. Carl shared with me a letter recently to answer, and a lady was, I believe, confused by something that was true but maybe was said in a way that made it easy for the devil to jump in with his interpretation and put her in real bondage. You know, the Lord can take things, for example, the devil can take things, I say, where the Lord instructs us to do a thing and the devil comes along and makes it a law. I mean a law in the sense that I've got to do that or I'm not going to be accepted. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm so glad. You remember the message the Lord gave me so many years ago about commands and promises? Every command the Lord gives us is a promise to help us do it. Because it's not about our ability to do anything. It's all about Him. To Him alone be the glory. The devil knows Scripture. Didn't he? Isn't that what he did with Jesus? As soon as Jesus quoted the word, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the devil jumps right in and says, hey, jump off the temple. Because the word says he'll command his angels and they'll lift up your, whatever it is, they'll lift up your feet lest you dash your foot against a stone. They'll protect you. Was that the purpose of that scripture? You know, we can have all kinds of questions and hear all kinds of scriptures. We need the author. We need to have a heart that says, Lord, I want to believe and rest in your word, but I need to understand it the way you want me to. I praise God for his faithfulness. And I would say that to anybody. If I say something somewhere along the line you don't understand it, talk to the Lord about it. Rest. Don't worry about it. Like Brother Thomas used to say, put it on the shelf and say, Lord, you can explain what I need to know when I need to know it. I'll tell you, God is faithful. And he wants us to rest. Praise the Lord. Let's not let the devil twist the word of God to hinder us. Look what he's done throughout history. A lot of his deception, yes, it's against the world of people who just don't serve God at all, but there's a lot of people that are religious, but their religion is the word twisted. And to bring people into all kinds of bondage where they think they're serving God and they're not. I'll tell you, we need the Lord, don't we? But he is faithful to all of his. So he knows Scripture. But another thing he knows his destiny. And I thought about how when he left heaven, when he fell like lightning from heaven, do you think there was any illusion in his mind that, well, I can try this? And if it doesn't work out, I can always go back. It was a one-way ticket out of there. He knew that he had set himself against the Most High. And it became more and more obvious as he went along that he had a destiny that wasn't good. And he has been struggling against that ever since. He knows his destiny. You remember the spirits that spoke out to Jesus in fear. And they said, "Have you come to torment us before the time, before the appointed hour?" There's a time. They know that's coming. They know that there is a time when all their all they can have in the way of expectation is fire and judgment and darkness. And it's coming, and he knows it. Praise God. And I'll tell you, the scriptures, like there's one in Jude that talks about the angels that fell. And they are being reserved in chains of darkness for the coming of the judgment of that day. And talks about how Jesus mentioned in one place that about fire that follows judgment, and it's been reserved, or it's been designed or set up for the devil and his angels. So he knows his destiny. He's not ignorant of what's coming. What would you do if you knew you had no hope and that was your destiny? I think you'd fight and fight and fuss, and that's what he's doing. You see it everywhere. But I'll tell you something else that he knows without any question, because once the cross, that he didn't understand what the cross was about. He thought he was winning. Once all of that happened, when Jesus went to the cross, and when he came out of that tomb, and not only that, when he ascended to a throne far above everybody, the devil knew he had lost and lost forever. Do we know that? Praise God. Don't you be afraid of the devil. He lost the battle on that day. You know the scripture in Colossians chapter 2, read it, how he was paraded. Not only did Jesus nail the law to the cross, our sins and all of that, open a way for us to become new creatures, he paraded the devil in defeat. That's a paraphrase of some of the language that's there. You know what that was a reference to? You know, back in the ancient world, when they had battles, one kingdom against another, they didn't have the internet. How many people here have never lived in a world where we didn't have the internet? I'll tell you what, you think, this world is so connected, information is so instant. And here they were, they didn't have reporters, they didn't have all telephones, they didn't have any means of communication. So how did they know what the outcome of a battle was? I'll tell you, one of the best ways they knew was when the opposing king and the opposing generals and the opposing army were literally chained up, stripped down and set up like they were servants and slaves, and then paraded down the main street of the capital in front of everybody. You want to know, you want the evidence that we just won that battle? There they are. There's the king. He's dressed like a slave and he's in chains. That's the imagery the Lord has given to us. Do we understand that? Do we understand the degree to which the devil was absolutely defeated at the cross? Once and for all. Praise God. The devil knows that. The devil is very, very well aware of what happened because of the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension. He knows the power of the cross and of the blood. I know some of you have been around a while will remember that there was an occasion when Brother Thomas was dealing with a demon-possessed person. And for some reason, he felt led to press the particular devil about what it was they were most afraid of. Best I remember the incident. And boy, that devil fought and fought and resisted and just wouldn't. And Brother Thomas just continued to press because the Lord was with him. It wasn't just Brother Thomas. And began to press that devil. And finally the devil had to admit the thing he feared the most was the cross and the blood that was spilled there. There is nothing they fear more than the cross and the blood that was spilled there. They know it was their final defeat. Praise God. Do we know that? Do we understand the power of what God has given to us in the cross? The devil knows it. There's no question. He's not sitting there, I wonder. No, he knows in the depth of his soul exactly what's going on. He knows that Christ rules. He is well aware that Christ sits in a place where he can never go. There's no challenge, no way that he can mount a challenge to Christ and say, I'm coming for your throne. You better be afraid. He can't even get near that place. He sits on a throne, and the decree of God is that he is there reigning. How long? Till every enemy is where? Under his feet. And when he does that, what's going to happen? He's going to hand the kingdom. Said, the work is done. My job is done. Here, Father, is your kingdom. And God, the one he referred to as his Father, will be all in all. And Jesus will walk among us as our brother in a brand new creation. Praise God. The devil is well aware that this is what's unfolding, and there's nothing he can do. He can't get to that throne. It's real. Jesus said before he went to the cross, before he ascended, he said, all, not some, but all authority in heaven and in earth is what? Been given to me. See, that's the foundation for going and making disciples and so forth. And lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age. The devil knows that a whole lot better than we do sometimes. He knows exactly what that's about. Till all enemies are under his feet. You know, Ephesians 1 talks about the power of the resurrection and how he's ascended to a place not just above but far above all principalities and powers. That's the place that, oh, I'll tell you, the devil is scared to death. We'll understand these things and actually live like they're true. But the devil knows these truths better than a lot of God's people. And I just pray that he'll make it more real, because we see ourselves in such a weak place. But didn't the Lord, well, I'll save that one until we get there. So he knows that Christ rules. But he also knows Christ's promise. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He also said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and no, I'm not going to cast one of them out. Praise God. There's something unfolding that he is doing all that he can do to prevent, but he can't prevent it. You know, I was thinking about putting it in a simple way. There is no prison house that the devil can build that Jesus can't get in there and rescue one of his. There is no prison the devil has the power to build that Satan cannot breach. I mean, the Lord cannot breach and rescue one of his out of there. Praise God. That's the promise of God. That's the word of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Oh, it's already been accomplished at the cross, the basis of all of that. The Lord, and here's the other thing, the Lord knows them that are his. He's not, you know, looking in very general terms and saying, oh, there's a great bunch of people out there. He knows every single one. Remember how he knows the hairs on your head? I think he can keep up with who we are. He knows every little thing, and he hasn't forgotten a single one. He knows. If you're his, he knows it. You know, I have a feeling the devil knows that too. That the devil knows who are God's people. Remember the incident in, I think it's in Acts 19, where the Lord was using Paul in some very unusual ways. And it was obvious he had power against demons, just great things that God was doing to give testimony to the gospel. It's not for the sake of the signs and wonders, but it's to give a witness to the gospel. That's the greatest thing. But anyway, there were some Jewish folks who wanted to cast out demons. And they watched him doing it. He's doing it in Jesus' name. Aha! Now we know how to do this. You know, the things of God are not formulas. We can't just take a formula, bring it down, and in our own energy do anything, expect something to happen. And so they come into this guy who's full of the devil, full of demons, and they say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." And I said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Who are you?" But that's interesting. Paul I know. They knew. It wasn't, and it's not just the great ones, but that's an illustration. The devil knows. And of course, it didn't end too well for those folks, did it? They ran out of there naked and bleeding. That one man beat up seven of them, if I remember correctly. I'll tell you, God doesn't want us to be afraid of the devil, but we need to know who we are. We need to be his people, don't we? We need to move in him. But I believe God, with all my heart, God wants to bring us to a place where we know these things that the devil knows. We know who we are, and we're able to be instruments of Christ in this world. Praise God. All right? So the devil knows who we are. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are born from above, sealed by his Spirit, a brand new creation. Now, that's sealed by the Spirit. See, any one of these subjects could be a subject of a message, couldn't it? But the seal of God's Spirit, what does that mean? There's something about when somebody really comes to Christ and hands their life over and he comes in and takes possession, he puts a seal. That's an illustration of saying, "That's mine. That one's mine." Do you think the devil is ignorant of that? He knows. If you're his, the devil knows it. He's going to deal with you differently than he would somebody in the world, but the devil knows those that are his. You know, the devil seals people too. You see that on both sides of this war that's going on. The devil is sealing people with lies and with deception. The whole world is deceived, and Satan is the author of that deception. But I'll tell you, when God calls somebody out, there is a birth that happens. There is a brand new life that is born that the devil cannot kill. And we need to realize who we are in him. God wants us to wake up and be aware. The devil knows that. Praise God. Here's something that just hit me as I was thinking about all this. The devil is scared to death of us. And it doesn't feel like that a lot of the time, but the devil is scared because he knows it's not just us. If Christ lives in you, that's the one he's afraid of. He's afraid we'll discover who we are and start saying, "Lord, just like we're saying, use me." This is not a prescription for a pep rally to get out and go change the world in that sense, but this is to bring us to a place where we know who we are in Christ. And we know we can do whatever he gives us to do, because it's not us doing it, it's him in us. Praise God. That's what the devil is afraid of. Praise the Lord. What about the scripture where John was talking in 1 John 4 about deceivers that had come in, but they didn't recognize that Christ was there? They were just coming in with their deception. And the comment that John makes is, "Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world." The devil is very, very aware. When Christ resides in a heart, that's the one he is terrified of. Praise the Lord. I don't know, as I thought about this, I just felt a greater sense of confidence and rest. I have no confidence in me. Nobody here has any grounds to have confidence in yourself. But we have all the ground in the world to have confidence in him. Praise the Lord. And it's not just that he's greater as he that's in us. What about what Paul says in Ephesians 2 about how we who were under the dominion of Satan, I don't care if you were born in the church and grew up here, until Christ comes in and takes the throne of your heart, you're living under his power. But when Christ comes in, he takes over. He lifts us up out of the graveyard of sin, gives us a life that the devil cannot kill. But we don't stop there. He raises us up to seat us with him in heavenly places in Christ. There's a place of authority that we have. The devil loves to make us feel like we're down in the mire, down in the depths, and oh God, way up there someplace. Is that the picture that's painted? We're up here with Christ. When it comes to the devil, we're looking down. We're looking down. I want to see it that way. I want this to become so real to me because I'm just like you. I have those times too. We all do when we feel that way. But God wants us to understand these are things the devil is well aware of. He has no illusion about who we are and what our destiny is. Praise God. And he knows our power to overcome, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. What about, of course, Revelation 12, the scripture we quote so often. See, that's the picture of how Christ came into the world. He tried his best to destroy Christ, but he lost, and there was a great war that took place in heaven, and he was cast down. Jesus said before he went to the cross that that's what was going to happen. The devil's going to be cast down, cast out. And what happened as a result of that? A message began to be proclaimed. The victory has been won. And those who overcame the devil didn't do it because they got excited and geared up. They did it because the blood was shed. The only ground the devil has over me is my sins that would separate me from God. But God took care of that at the cross. Why do you think the devil is so scared of the cross? He knows that the only power he has over us is to cause us to feel the guilt and the weight of our sins, but they were all placed upon a Savior. Praise God. And he didn't just bear them, he took them into the grave and left them there. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you, it didn't stop with just the fact of the blood, but the fact that they had this testimony. Praise God. I'm standing on what God says. I'm going to be like Jesus when the devil comes and tells me all about all the stuff that's wrong with me. I'm going to tell him what's wrong with him. I'm going to stand there and confess what God has done for me. I'm going to lift up my eyes and get them off of what I think I am and all that I'm not and place them where they need to be on Jesus and what he has accomplished. I'm going to confess that and stand on it. Praise the Lord. You know, those of you who were there Saturday night heard Brother Ezra talk about standing your ground. I wish I'd thought about this at the time, but you read the passage in Ephesians 12, or Ephesians 6, I mean, about the armor, yeah, and how we fight and resist. We had a message on that recently. But one of the things that Paul mentions, one of the expressions that he mentions in the translation I use most of the time is stand your ground, that you might be able to stand your ground. The very phrase that Ezra used over and over again. God wants us to realize that he has given us ground. We didn't earn it. Jesus, because of what Jesus did, we have a place to stand that belongs to us. It's ours. We have a right to stand upon that. Now, you know the illustration he used had to do with Israelites, and God had given them a physical land to possess. And they had every right to say, this is mine. You can't come in here and take it from me. But I wonder how many of us really understand that when we're under assault by the devil. We're not trying to take ground as though I just haven't got it yet. God wants us to realize he has given us ground and we stand on that ground. We claim that it is ours and it becomes ours in practice. I don't want to fight from futility of trying to be something I'm not. I want to become what I am. Think about that. Are we trying to become something we're not, or are we growing up to become something that we are because we were born from above? His life is in us. The blood was shed. The cross happened. The empty tomb happened. We have a life that cannot be killed. Praise God. It's the finished work of Christ. We have every right to stand upon that. Not because we think we deserve it or we always live up. We come back to that every time and say, this is the reason, devil, I have a right to stand against you. Do you think the devil is ignorant of this? The devil believes it better than we do most of the time. He is well aware of what Christ did for us. He knows that he has no defense except trying to assault us in some fashion through lies, through our weaknesses, to get our mind, our eyes off of where they need to be. If he can do that, he can make us ineffective. But I want to rise up from that and realize that what Jesus did for me at the cross is mine, and I have every right to stand on it and claim it. And I'm often in need of it, just like you are. But I've got, that's the place that I need to run to every single time. Praise God. Praise God. So stand our ground. The devil knows our destiny. He knows all of the promises that we so often quote. I didn't even write down too many of them, but the ones that we quote all of the time, Philippians 1:6. Praise God about how the work that he has begun, what about it? He is going to complete it. How long? Till the day of Jesus Christ. There's a day coming. God's not going to quit. God help us not to. Not to throw up our hands as though we're defeated and we just can't make it. He is the basis upon which I stand. The devil is well aware of that promise. He has no illusions about it being true or not. He absolutely understands that there is a life in us, like I say, he cannot kill. What about Romans 8, the passage we read so often? Even the stuff that the Lord allows him to do, God turns it into good. It must be frustrating. Now, I'm not a bit sorry for him. I don't sympathize at all. But how frustrating is it that when the devil is allowed to do something that somehow is the human beings regard as negative, he persecutes or he oppresses or whatever, and God says all things work together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose, and the devil can't stop that. And he goes all the way to the point, all the way to the fact that we've been glorified in God's mind and God's purpose. We've already been glorified. You think the devil doesn't know that scripture? Do you think he thinks it's, well, that's not true? The devil knows. And what about nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Praise God! Every one of these things is something that the devil knows and understands. What about Paul's confession? I know whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. See, God had planted the confidence about his own destiny in Paul's heart. And he knew it didn't rest with him. He knew it rested on the faithfulness of God. He said, I handed every issue of my life, I handed it over to him. I've committed me. I've committed all the sins, the terrible sins that I committed when I was young in unbelief. I gave it all to him, and I know he's faithful. And I know he's going to keep it all the way to the end. Praise God. I just want to come back to that thought in all of this. The devil knows every one of these things. And the Lord wants us to know them in a deeper way than we have. May he help us. May he help me. I know he is. I don't think this is going to take a lot longer, but anyway, I mean, like I say, there's so many places, so many scriptures you could throw into this, but just think of any of the ones that have been meaningful to you. And I want you to understand the devil knows about it. He is well aware. What he doesn't want is for us to get it. He wants us to use the EBM version of the Bible. It's not the King James, the NIV, or all the EBM. That's everybody but me. Where we can sit there and say, yeah, that's a great truth, but as for me, doesn't quite apply to me. Oh, God wants us to take his word. What did Jesus die for? Just so that we could live in as paupers? He wants us to live with a sense of confidence. Now, that's not talking about human bravado and cockiness and thinking we're something, we can just go out and, you know, push a spiritual buttons and accomplish things. No, but when he tells us something to do, we can do it because we are his. He wants us to grow up in him and be who we truly are. The devil is scared to death that that's going to happen in God's people. Praise the Lord. Well, there's something else the devil knows, right? He knows his time is short. Now, it's interesting that that was originally written in the first century. But if you just follow the Bible chronology, there was a good 4,000 years before that. And Satan knew when Jesus ascended to that throne and began to declare his message, he said, whoa, time's running out. I don't think he knew. He also knew that he had been frustrated and has been for most of this time since the gospel began to be proclaimed. He's been frustrated in his efforts to unite the world under his leadership. Now, he's able to do a lot of stuff, but in terms of gathering the nations completely under his rule and literally driving out the influence of Christ from the earth, he hasn't been able to do that. He has been bound and limited in what he was able to do. And, of course, we know that the end of the age is that period of time described as a little season when that release happens. And we've talked about it many times. It's happening right before us. We see every day the effort of Satan, the successful effort in so many cases, of the devil to plant his ideas. Our whole generation is glued to their phones, getting information. What kind of information is it? Boy, the devil has unprecedented powers and avenues for getting information into people's heads. He can promote his culture, his ideas, his lies in every possible form if we're not discerning and awake. And God help us to realize what's going on. The devil knows he has a short time. He's come down in great wrath. And the people of the world have no idea what's going on. Thank God his people do. That God has a people. You know, I made this point in a couple of settings recently. I believe with all my heart it's easy for us to focus on, oh, things are so bad, so dark. Circle the wagons, folks. I believe with all my heart this is the time that God is going to have the greatest ingathering of his people. There is a harvest that's happening in many places in the world right now. And I don't want to put God in my box and say it's got to happen this way or that way. I want to say God knows how to reach his. God is going to reach everyone. And yes, there is a terrible harvest of evil that's happening in the world, but there's a harvest of good too, and God is calling his people. I tell you, we're going to have an unnumbered company, innumerable company from every tribe and every nation before it's over. God is faithful, and I want to be part of that. I don't want to sit there and say, well, there's nothing we can do. It's all over. It ain't over till Jesus comes. And I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. I know it's going to get a lot darker, and we're going to see trials and tribulations of all kinds. But I'll tell you, God has promised to be with us to the end of the age. And he that's in us is greater. The devil cannot destroy that which God has birthed into his kingdom. And he's looking for a people that realize who we are. The devil has no right to you, has no right to me. We have a right to realize we're here and he's down here trying to do whatever he can do. But he has lost the war. But right now he is doing everything he can do to deceive the lost and unify the world under his power. But he's also trying to make every effort to make believers ineffective, to blind believers to the reality on a personal level of the things we've been talking about today. He knows they're true. He's scared to death we'll find out about it. and actually live it. But I tell you, you see where we're at. You see what we need. We need to wake up and look to Jesus. When you struggle against something, where do you look? I mean, I know where we were supposed to look, but I mean, where do we look? Most of the time, we're looking at the circumstance, the feelings, the sense of failure, the sense of weakness, whatever it is. God wants His people every moment of every day to lift our eyes and say, I have a source. I need to stay plugged in. I don't have to suck the juice out of the vine. It's going to flow. All I have to do is look to Him and believe His promises, and His life will sustain me because what He's done in here cannot be killed. Praise God. When I feel weakness, it's a cause from the devil's attempt, is attempting to put me in a place where I'm just, oh, well, I can't do anything. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You think the devil is unaware of that? The devil believes every one of these things. He knows them to be true. God wants us to have better faith than the devil. But that's when better faith certainly means it applies to me now. I have every right to lift my eyes and look to Him in confidence. I don't have to strive to make it happen. I rest in what God has already accomplished at the cross. I need to learn to believe things the devil knows to be true, but I need to learn how to believe them personally for me according to my needs and where I'm at. And I tell you, as God works that in us, we're going to be instruments of His purpose in this hour. I don't know what that is. It's not to start a program and get a committee together to come up with a 5-year plan. It's to look to God and say, Lord, here we are. Use me, Jesus. And I'm just going to look to You and wait upon You and take it as it comes. I'm going to do what Jesus taught us, what He said He was going to bring us to, is the place of rest. Learn from me, He said, and you'll find rest for your souls. So I don't know, I just, and this has really covered a lot of ground in a way, but I hope it's painted a simple picture. We need to realize the devil knows a whole lot more than we may be given credit for. He is terrified that God's people will understand the truth of the gospel and walk in it and lay hold of it and be people that God can use in an hour like this. I pray that God will wake me up and all of us to realize who we are. Instead of thinking of ourselves as this poor, weak, useless, whatever, however the devil wants to characterize it. Say, devil, in myself, I'm all those things. But there's one in me who's greater than you. There's an eternal purpose being lived out and worked out. I have every right to yield myself to Him and to be a part of that. Maybe He hasn't called me to go out and do great things as people imagine those things, but I can be a light right where I'm at. Christ can live in me. I can be victorious. I can grow in my faith. And yes, there's room for growth. I don't get it right all the time, but I've got a place to go. Oh, the devil is terrified of the cross and the blood that was shed there, but we can go there with joy and thankfulness, knowing that there is a ground that God has established where we can be as clean as if we had never sinned in the first place. We just have to have a heart that agrees with Him and comes to Him and says, Father, I need to be cleansed. Help me. Help me to grow. Help me to learn from this. You think He's going to be faithful? The devil knows it. He knows there's going to be a day when when it'll be over for him. He's going to take down everybody he can take down. He is angry that his plans and all that he has imagined is going to come to an end. He knows it's true. How would you feel if you were in his place? You'd be out there doing everything you could do. Stop it. But I serve one who cannot, who's never lost a battle. And it's not just a matter of the battle. He's won the war. He has won the war. And I want to be one that walks in that. So just think about all these things the devil knows and say, do I know them? Do I really walk in this? Do I get all this? Does it make a difference in my daily life? And I believe the Lord's going to help us in a special way going forward, don't you? I don't know what it's going to look like. God doesn't live in my box. I just want to say, Lord, teach us, show us, lead us. I want to be free to say, Lord, whatever you have, help us to be alive and awake and to be able to hear your voice and believe it when you speak and trust you for the power to do whatever you tell us to do. That's kind of all there is to it, isn't it? Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Praise the Lord.